Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rosini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. Great to be with you.
Very good. Today, I'd like to visit with you and our viewers on the subject of wage controls, minimum wages, and how good are they or how bad are they. And there was a recent article that talked about the minimum wage, and it had to do with Whole Foods, and they were very generous. The public outcry was, they need more money. You know, they don't say, well, why do you need more money? Why is the Federal Reserve destroying the value of the dollar? No, everybody needs more money. So the public pressure was there, and Whole Foods said, well, we're not going to fight them, but we'll raise it to $15. That was 4 months ago. They raised it. Everybody should be happy now. They should have $15 an hour, a lot more money in their pockets. They upgraded all what they want. But it hasn't turned out quite like that, has it, Chris?
No, it hasn't. And once again, it's the old belief that politicians can wave a wand and make decrees and everything will just stay the same as it is, just people will make more money. And it's just not true. I mean, businesses are humans just like we are, and nobody, no human, wants to pay more for something than it's worth. So businesses have to adapt. And in the case of Whole Foods, they're slashing hours. People that had 30 hours now have 20 hours with the same job. So they have to now do the same thing in less time. Thanks a lot, government. That's what happens. Businesses adapt. They'll either slash hours, they'll fire people, or even more likely, and we're seeing it even more, is automate. You know, they'll use a kiosk, and that entrepreneurs that are on the sidelines are thinking to themselves, you know, government is raising the minimum wage. People are going to want to automate. Let's create the software. Let's create the hardware. And, you know, so businesses adapt. Government just hurts the very people that they're purportedly trying to help.
Right. And I think what they forget about is the productivity. Productivity of an employee makes a big difference, and that probably guides wages more than anything else. It gets distorted once there's unionized groups and different other pressures, but productivity is the key to it. But this is totally ignored when you artificially raise wages and say they should be a certain amount, because maybe that's not the best thing for business. Oh, should we care about our business? Not necessarily. We shouldn't have rules based on the business people. The whole purpose of a free market, I mean, the ultimate purpose and the benefits is not protecting wages or protecting profits. Actually, it's designed and driven, and it's been automatic, and that is for the consumer. The consumer is what, you know, they want low prices and good qualities. So they sort this out, and when the price is right and the quality is good, they buy that product, and then, if they have good workers there and they're producing, all of a sudden their wages are going to go up and they will adjust. But, you know, it's not like this whole idea of solving the problems of inflation, higher prices due to a manipulation of the monetary system. It's been around a long time. They had it in Roman times, you know, wage and price controls. And they always want to blame somebody, but never the culprits who were benefiting by the creation of new money. In the old days, it might have been coin clipping or diluting the metals and all sophisticated ways of creating monetary inflation to benefit the few. But then the victims, they come along a year or two later and they don't quite see what it's related to. And therefore, the government needs to help us. We want the government to help us. Even now, when they see these ramifications of the $15 an hour, people are now suggesting, well, we're going to write a law that says they can't lay off anybody. We can't cut their hours back. But what if you have the productivity at six hours instead of eight? You say, well, you're going to have to give you your 2 hours back again and give them more wages. That doesn't help productivity. It doesn't help the businessman. It doesn't help them to compete. And it really doesn't serve. And then ultimately, it doesn't serve the employee. Because if you don't have the consumer satisfied, and if you don't have the companies making profits, you're not going to have employees. And this is what's happening here. so far, not people aren't losing jobs, but they're losing the ability to keep up. And I think it might be just at the beginning of the stage. We haven't felt the full effect because the markets in the last year have been pretty good and they've absorbed some of this mischief. But I think there's going to be a lot more businesses as I, you know, think about what was in the news over this last year. A lot of cities and townships and business people raised, but they were phasing it in. So if we're moving into a downturn, which I believe we are, and now it's going to be hit with higher wages, this is going to be a lot of trouble. So, Chris, I don't think without our help, they need our help right now, I don't think they're going to make things better because of the public pressure and the refusal to admit how important the market is.
Exactly, Dr. Paul. And, you know, you have to feel bad for the most vulnerable in our country because that's who the minimum wage hammers the most. I mean, if you have a young teen who wants to save up some money or even an elderly person who wants to get out of the house and get a job, they could go to a big store and say, look, I'll sweep your floor for $7 an hour. You know, I like being around people. And the store will go, okay, fine, that's great. And everybody, that's an agreement, a contract between two people. But now Bernie Sanders comes in and says, no, you have to pay him 15. So the business owner is going to say, I'm not going to pay him 15. And I'm sorry, kid, but I have to let you go. And either the floor won't be swept or the owner will sweep it himself, or he'll go to one of his other employees and say, look, I'll give you $5 extra now if you want to sweep the floor. So the people adapt. The government can't come in and just bully contracts. And now the young person or the elderly person, now they can't get a job at all because nobody's going to give them $15.
That's right. You know, this subject refreshes my memory about how it was handled in our family, because my grandfather, who lived very close to us, had a little farm, a little berry farm, but there were a lot of kids, you know, kids and cousins. There'd be 10 or 12 of us, and we always wanted to help, and they wanted it, and it would be helpful for us to go and pick the berries. But some of us were very young, and some were older, and some picked 3 baskets of berries in an afternoon, and others picked 1. And guess what? They varied the pay. You know, the people who only picked 1 berry, we didn't say, well, everybody's worked 3 hours today, so we have to make the pay equal and everybody's going to get the same. No, it sort of taught, you know, an incentive in productivity, because it also said that, you know, if you get this little quart basket filled up, you're going to get a reward for it. But this is what they destroy, this cruel attitude that you have to produce and that you're rewarded according to your ability to produce and your incentive to produce. So this is what is absent. The thing is that this problem is not new. It's been around for a long time, and I think it's going to remain here because they're still not looking at the real cause. And the real cause of these wages not being high enough, and we can't dismiss that. That is true. But characteristically, wages never keep up with the prices. And matter of fact, the Keynesians did this deliberately. They said, well, you know, when they have a slump, like in the Depression, they did not allow wages and prices to go down in the 30s. And that was harmful. It delayed the correction because prices should go down. So they say, well, the neat part about inflation is we can lower wages in real terms. So we'll still give them a $10 an hour, but they'll only have $8 worth of purchasing power, and we'll make the corrections. The real cost of labor will go down. That was an intent, but it didn't take long for the workers to say, hey, we're still getting ripped off, and that was the incentive to organize and say, hey, you're doing it to us. You're messing us up. And then they would argue the case for automatic raises. But then they're in this business of trying to balance this, which is something that only the invisible hand can balance. But once the government gets involved, it isn't, I always think the invisible hand, when the government is involved, it's an iron fist. You do it our way or you'll be in big trouble. And just think of, you know, in recent history, how strong the penalties were. And matter of fact, they still are in countries like Venezuela. If you disobey economic laws, you can go to prison for a lifetime. In some of the authoritarian societies, you lose your life because you defied it and pointed out the government is guilty, you know, for this, and they're trying to survive. But the lesson that we'd like to see have people listen to here today is that solving the problem by artificially forcing wages up is just, you know, a distraction from the real problems that we face.
Yes, Dr. Paul, and I'm going to finish by pointing out a reality that every single one of us has to face, and you can't fake it in this world. The only way to earn more money is to be more valuable to either your employer or to consumers. Not, you know, people are like, oh, how can you tell me how valuable I am? Not valuable as a person. You could be a great father, brother, uncle, baseball coach, valuable to your community. We're talking about economic value. What can you do? What knowledge do you have that somebody is going to pay you for? And politicians cannot make you more valuable. They can make the minimum wage $100 an hour, but if you cannot earn $100 an hour, the politician just made you unemployed. That's all he did. So you can't fake it in this world. Politicians, that's all they try to do is fake everything. Just don't buy into it and make yourself more valuable.
You know, we should approach this too with a moral attitude to explain some of this, because, you know, they don't have the moral right to tell people what they can do voluntarily. A person comes and offers their services, and they come up and they have an agreement. That should be honored, and to sort it out and say, oh no, you missed the boat, you got to do this or that. But the moral argument against this whole idea that they could and should and try to raise wages, which doesn't work, is saying that if they have the power to do this, they also have the power and authority to lower wages, whether it's through inflation or literally fixing wages. Now, I remember vividly how dramatic it was when Nixon, in his saving the United States economy, closing the gold window, putting on tariffs, and then also putting on wage and price controls. And, of course, that was a total disaster. But when he put on wage and price controls, you know, I remember back then my office call was $3. $3, and it had been there too long, and I was needing to raise it. So our cost to a visit was frozen at $3 for longer than the rest of them, because medicine, you know, had to be more penalized. But they will raise the wages only when they can produce more. But in 1971, they froze the wages. So they can and they will, and that's what authoritarian governments do. And if you break those rules, if you go into the black market and actually work on the side, that may be one of the reasons why these part-time workers do pretty well. They might have two jobs, you know, and actually ironing some of these problems out. The other thing that should bother us is that these emergency powers that come in on, especially on price controls and even wage control, is in emergencies. You know, we had them on in World War I and World War II and Nixon era and the Korean War. In emergency, we have shortages and all these kind of problems. It's in the emergencies that you really need the marketplace to sort out the shortages. But that wouldn't be fair. The rich would be able to get them before the poor would be able to get them. And we can't do that. So we have to have equal distribution at a fixed price. And then they end up, they don't have anything to distribute. But that's their argument. So if you take today, routinely, you still hear, and when it's voted on in a state legislature or in Congress, no gouging. You cannot raise prices in the midst of an emergency. If there is a hurricane and gasoline was $1 a gallon before it, and somebody raised it to $1.50, of course, those are the wrong numbers, but if they raised it because of shortages, they're gouging people. Well, the faster they raise it, the more incentive there will be for somebody to take the risk of getting into places or finding more oil or being more conservative. All these kind of things would happen, but it's in these emergency, but they work exceptionally well in a more peaceful setting when there aren't acute war emergencies and natural disasters. It's just the whole idea of supply and demand. If you destroy the pricing structure, you destroy the marketplace, and you're on the verge of being socialistic. And of course, the most important price that very few people look at, and that is the price of money, the interest rates, because everything depends on the interest rates, because that's the price of money and the use of money and the dollar, which is that is legal tender, by laws. What is established then. They have this legal tender, but they put the price on. And that's where the distortions come. I mean, just listen to our administrators these days. Boy, that Federal Reserve better not raise the interest rate. And they better not. I don't think they should either. But they should just be out of the market of pretending they know whether they should raise it or lower it. But, you know, you can't raise it. We got to price fix it and keep it down. It's done real well for this last decade. Got us out of that bad recession and then distorted everything. Everything's a bubble now. And, of course, we're on the verge of seeing that big bubble burst. So I think this whole issue of wage and price control, it's fascinating. We should see the importance of it, but we should see how the Federal Reserve contributed to the crisis that made people want a higher wage and an incentive for people to capitulate and say, well, it's not fair. Let's make them pay more. And then they have the complications, the unintended consequences that we just talked about. So our vote is for the free market and sound money and get the government out of our business, out of our wallets and out of our pocketbooks. And the economy would work a lot better. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.